Could not speak was brought to Jesus. When the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, in curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Today's gospel, Jesus cures the demoniac. He exorcises the devil. His whole work could be summarized as coming on in to defeat the prince of the world and divide his spoils. We see precisely what the devil had tried to do. The devil had made this possessed man mute. He couldn't speak. He couldn't speak to God. He couldn't speak to others. He couldn't even hear himself. He had cut off that capacity for communication and communion, to which communication is meant to lead. And that's why, as soon as Jesus had cured the man began to speak. How important speech is. We notice that the other people, as soon as they had witnessed Jesus do this miracle, began to speak as well. "We have never seen anything like this in the history of Israel," they clamored. But we also see how the devil, if he can't stop us from communion through speech, tries to pervert our speech. But the Pharisees, possessed by the devil, the father of lies, said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Little did the Pharisees know just how Satan had them in his clutches. That as they were opposing Jesus, they were cooperating with him. They would have been the last people ever to understand whose work they were really doing. And we would see the real fruition of that on Good Friday as they conspired to have the Son of God murdered. Jesus' whole work was mercifully to come in to defeat the power of the devil. But that requires, just like at our baptism, a real choice to renounce Satan, all his empty promises, all his evil works, and to place our total trust in God. We have to be conscious of the work of God as well as the work of the evil one. And we need constantly to make that act of entrustment to the Lord in things small and big. Today's first reading, we see the continuation of what we were talking about yesterday with Hosea. That God had, through Hosea, reminded us of the spousal covenant he has made. And today we see precisely how the kingdom of Israel had been unfaithful to that spousal covenant. We start today in verse 4 of chapter 8, but if you begin with the first few verses, when God calls Hosea and says, "Go as a trumpeter and announce this message," he tells the fundamental way to understand all of this. He said, "The kingdom of Israel says, 'We know you, Lord. We know you.'" They thought that they actually knew the God of Israel, but they didn't. They didn't know him as shepherd and king. And for that reason, they made many kings in Israel, but not by God's authority. They established princes, but without my approval. Later, it will talk about giving themselves over to the kingdom of Assyria. They placed their trust in worldly powers because they didn't really know the Lord. But the devil had deceived them to think that they did. Likewise, they didn't worship the one true God. With silver and gold, they made idols for themselves to their own destruction. In Samaria, they made a replica of the golden calf, just like the idolatry of their forefathers. But as we heard in the psalm, these small g gods had mouths but couldn't speak, eyes but couldn't see, ears but couldn't hear, noses but couldn't smell, hands but couldn't feel, feet but couldn't walk. And then it finishes by saying, their maker shall be like them, as well as everyone who trusts in them. Stone has no life. And the more we give into idolatry, that life of God is drained from us. That Zoe, that higher form of life. And even though those in the kingdom of Israel thought that they knew the Lord, they didn't, and they were proving it. Likewise, when they were even worshiping God, they failed to worship the one true Lord. They made many altars to expiate sin, but these altars became occasions of sin. It just hardened them in their ways, rather than open them to God's ways. And all of this is summarized right in the middle. They were sowing the wind and about to reap the whirlwind. They were sowing nothing. And they were going to reap a whole lot of nothing. The vapid reality to which they had succumbed was going to overwhelm them. They were planting seeds that would lead to grains with no ears. There would be no fruit. There would be no nourishment to any of this life. Because they didn't know the Lord. But that isn't where God stopped. This whole book of Isaiah was to try to bring about that reconciliation. That even though they knew the Lord not, and knew in a biblical sense with spiritual adultery, all sorts of other small g gods, God didn't stop there. Even though they would be punished at the end, the punishment took the form of the advent of the bridegroom. Jesus came, as we see in the second half of today's gospel, with gut-bursting compassion on the crowd, who were mangled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus came to teach them because they were lost, to proclaim the good news to them because they were without hope, to cure every kind of illness and disease, including their self-inflicted ones. He was the one who sought to lead them as his good shepherd, and when they were abandoned, to bring them into one, to regather the flock of Israel. And at the very end of the passage, when Jesus looks at the crowd and sees them this way, he announces that the harvest needs laborers and asks them to pray for laborers, as we'll see at the beginning tomorrow. Calls 12 of those disciples praying to be those first laborers collecting that harvest. As we celebrate this Mass today, we come to a place in which that bridegroom appears to us not just as our shepherd, but as the victim, the priest, and the altar of true expiation. Let us pray for the grace truly to know him. And then throughout the day, make him our Lord, make him our shepherd, Make him our God. Make him our loving and beloved spouse. Praise be Jesus Christ.